Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now, Fox 50, breaking news out of Harnett County. One person is dead after a massive house fire there.
And extra security to keep students and teachers safe in Chatham and Wake counties as we look live at Wake Forest High School this morning. We'll explain the new precautions today after threats popped up on social media.
And with a little bit of sunshine, our temperatures are now starting to warm up. We've jumped into the 50s. I'll show you when 80s are back into the forecast.
And the Carolina Hurricanes take the ice again tonight as they continue their march toward the Stanley Cup. Can they win game two of round two? We'll find out.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on your Friday. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
It was pretty. I'm Jeff Hogan. It was pretty convincing win Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
So this would be a commanding lead on home ice.
Are they in Jersey? They're here.
They're here tonight, and then they go to Jersey on the weekend.
Okay, they're here.
Games three
Even
and four.
Better.
Yeah, exactly. PNC will be rocking. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Right now, blue skies. I love that.
Yeah, it's looking good out there. Really nice tailgating weather this evening if you got a ticket to the game. Here's a live look at Andrew. We're seeing a mix of sun and clouds. This is, of course, the pretty depot there downtown. 53 is our temperature around the Triangle area. And we check temperatures across the region. It's still 48 in Clinton. It's 43 in Roxboro. Everybody else is in the low to mid-50s now. 52 in Southern Pines. 54 in Rocky Mount and Wilson. We take a look at our forecast as we head through the day today. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds. There could be a few overcast periods, but we're not likely to see rain today. 70 at lunchtime. We'll see mid-70s for highs this afternoon. We are trending drier over the weekend. The newest runs of the computer models and, of course, our first look at the high-resolution models for Sunday are showing just a 20% chance both days. Now, Sunday, there may be an isolated thunderstorm. There could be a few isolated showers on Saturday, so it may not be a totally rain-free weekend, but it certainly doesn't look like a washout, and I'll walk you through future casts coming up in just a bit. Ryan?
It is 8:02. Right now, we have a couple of minor crashes in Wake County that they are working to clear now. Just check with Raleigh 911. Still have units on the scene out at Pool Road at Rawls Drive, which is not too far from Sunnybrook Road. A minor crash there, not causing any big problems. Just look out for some police activity. Also in Knightdale, a crash reportedly in a parking lot at Knightdale Boulevard at Old Knight Road. Again, not seeing any big backups, but just something to keep in mind as you head out there on 64 Business or Knightdale Boulevard. Around the rest of the Triangle, we're looking all right overall. A little bit of a slowdown coming in from Wake Forest and Rollsville, which is typical for this point in the morning commute. Also seeing a little bit of slow traffic on the southbound side of 885 coming in from TW Alexander Drive down toward the I-40 interchange. But the northbound trip right now from I-40 up toward downtown Durham is looking fine. That earlier crash at Old Greensboro Road at Jones Ferry Road in Carrboro has cleared now. Traffic is flowing freely. Want to check in on those backups that we're tracking on the south side of Raleigh on 40 westbound. Just some congestion heading away from Lake Wheeler Road out toward Gorman Street this morning. Looks like there may be some activity there in the right shoulder, maybe a disabled vehicle. Overall, not talking about a big slowdown, though, about a 2-minute backup overall.
One person is dead after a massive house fire in Harnett County. I'm going to take you to Sky 5 video right here. The calls came in around 1 o'clock this morning. This is Red Hill Church Road in Irwin. A woman was not able to get out of that house. She died in the fire. A man was able to escape the flames. You see the damage done right there. Four fire departments were called in on this. Red Cross came to help out. Firefighters are still on the scene trying to check out some hot spots there, make sure nothing else fires up out of this, and they'll be there the rest of the day investigating the cause of this fire.
And more breaking news this morning. Crews are still working to clear up an accident involving a UPS truck on Capitol Boulevard. The WRAL breaking news tracker was on the scene at the intersection near Durant Road. Officials say the car ran a red light. That's when it was hit by this UPS truck. The driver was taken to the hospital but is expected to be okay.
At least four Wake County schools are increasing security this morning. And breaking news overnight, Chatham County schools are added to this list. They're doing the same thing following social media threats. WRAL's Nia Harden is at Wake Forest High School. Live for us this morning with what school officials are telling us about these threats. Nia.
Well, school is now in session here at Wake Forest High School. I'm going to step out of the way, though, and show you what we're seeing here. You can see a Wake Forest police car right there in the distance as a handful of schools here in Wake County are dealing with what's sadly become common for our area. Parents have reached out to us saying they plan to keep their children at home today. Here's a list of the high schools that received social media threats: Rollsville, Heritage, Wake Forest, and Leesville Road High School. Roseville telling parents in a letter that the threat mentioned violence. Several principals posted on social media to warn that there are serious consequences for making threats against a school. Around midnight, Chatham County Sheriff Mike Roberson shared on Facebook they will have deputies at schools this morning. He says a nonspecific threat is making rounds across the state and the nation. As far as the Wake County schools being investigated, it is being handled by police. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Wake Forest.
New restrictions on abortion are set to go into effect in North Carolina later this year unless a veto from Governor Cooper holds it up. The bill banning most abortions after 12 weeks is now on its way to Governor Cooper's desk. The state Senate passed it last night. That vote came 24 hours after the House passed the bill and 48 hours after it was introduced. Governor Cooper says he will veto the bill and called on North Carolinians to persuade Republican lawmakers to allow that veto to stand.
Look, right-wing politicians don't belong in the exam room with women and their doctors. They can't be trusted. Together, let's stop this dangerous abortion ban.
Republicans have a supermajority by one vote in each chamber of the legislature. That means the governor would need just one lawmaker to break from party lines for the veto to stick. And the bill moves to the governor's desk after a six-hour debate on the Senate floor that ended with a party line vote. This is the General Assembly where you're looking live.
When do you Democrats say that life begins? I have read your tweets, and I have listened to your anti-life rhetoric.
Love this state, North Carolina native, but I'm absolutely horrified, horrified at the prospect of having a child in my home state.
In addition to the 12-week ban, the bill would create more requirements for women to get an abortion. That includes multiple visits with a doctor prior to the procedure. And critics of the bill question whether that's feasible for women who live a long distance from a clinic.
This morning, the personal information for more than 6,000 people in Raleigh could be at risk. The FBI, Secret Service, and National Guard are all investigating a ransomware attack at the Raleigh Housing Authority. Officials say they noticed they were locked out of their computer systems Thursday morning. The new CEO, Ashley Lummers-Johnson, says he and her staff immediately called law enforcement. Nearly 24 hours later, the Raleigh Housing Authority is still searching for answers.
Front end of this, trying to still find out what happened. We don't know the extent of the breach. We don't know a whole lot.
Cyber attack shut down the online payment system as well as the application process for residents, and they're looking for new housing. RHA officials say it's still unclear what information was stolen and when things will return to normal. But for now, those people can make payments in person. If you have a maintenance request, that will need to be completed over the phone.
Coming up, less than a week left before Title 42 ends. Lawmakers are scrambling to find a solution to a potential overflow of immigrants. What lawmakers are planning to do as President Biden prepares to send troops to the border.
And tips for getting your passport sooner if you are going out of the country this summer.
And today and much of the weekend looks dry. We have new computer model runs showing less rain over the weekend. It's not a zero chance. We'll walk through the timeline coming up.
It's 8:11 right now on our Friday morning. This is a live look from our WRL Live Cam Network. Clinton, good morning to you. Those clouds are just amazing right there with that sunrise. Beautiful look right there as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Many, many different cameras out there from which to choose. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a few more.
Yeah, looking at Goldsboro, Fayetteville, Apex, Chapel Hill, all looking pretty right now. Chapel Hill in particular, seeing mostly sunny skies. We have seen some clouds start to filter in a few places, and we'll see that on and off today. No rain out of those clouds, but it'll be variably cloudy to partly cloudy. Big changes in the last 12 hours or so with our forecast. We're looking at less rain for the weekend. Here's why. The warm front, instead of pushing across North Carolina and bringing some rain along with it is likely to hang back and just move more slowly. And that's going to keep a lot of that rain back down to the south. So we're looking at a drier weekend, which is great for all the events that we have going on. Now, there's definitely some rain along this front, especially down to the south. We're looking at some stronger thunderstorms around Mississippi and Louisiana. Definitely some rain in parts of the deep south, Alabama and Georgia. But again, a lot of that's going to stay to our south over the next couple of days. Here's a look at Futurecast, and you can see partly cloudy skies for Saturday morning. A little more cloud cover tends to build in as we get into the afternoon. There's lunchtime. You can see an isolated shower or two here and there that pops up. So if you are planning to be out in the afternoon, like at the Ham and Yam Festival or the Peak Festival, or so many things going on, you may want to just have an umbrella tucked in a bag with you because there could be just a quick shower that rolls through. Not likely to be widespread, and they won't last for long. So I wouldn't put off any outdoor plans, but just be prepared. Plus, you know what happens? If you take the umbrella with you, it's a guarantee it won't rain on you, right? Futurecast showing mostly sunny skies on Sunday. But on Sunday, another disturbance drops in, and late in the afternoon, we may see some of those scattered storms pop up across our area. But all total, Saturday and Sunday together are likely to be less than a tenth of an inch of rain. I guess if you find yourself under one of those thunderstorms, it might be a little bit higher. But generally, we're not looking at very much rain for the weekend. Great news for everybody headed out for the Komen Race for the Cure. We are proud sponsors of the race. Runners started around 9 a.m., 62 degrees, really good running temperatures, partly cloudy skies. Again, as we get into the afternoon, really after the festivities are over, there could be an isolated shower that pops up. Spring commencements. Some of the colleges and universities have graduations this weekend, some next weekend. But Central, 59 degrees, 8 a.m. That's an early one on Saturday morning. NC State and St. Aug are both at 9 o'clock. Temperatures will be in the low 60s. And then Methodist down in Fayetteville, 68 degrees at around 10 a.m. But again, we should stay pretty dry for Saturday morning. Sunday, an isolated thunderstorm, but we'll see a better chance on Monday and Tuesday. We also see warmer temperatures. We're going to bounce into the upper 80s. It's going to feel like summer with an increase in our humidity as well, but we see the temperatures and the humidity backing off a little bit by the middle of next week. Brian?
814, just getting reports of a crash in South Raleigh on Lake Wheeler Road, just south of Tryon Road. Seeing some pretty heavy delays there in both directions of Lake Wheeler between the Penny Road, Yates Mill Pond Road area, then on the south side of the NC State Farm, all the way up toward Tryon Roads. Trying to avoid that this morning. Consider using 401 maybe as a good alternate route. It's in pretty good shape as you head between Garner, Raleigh, Garner, and Fuquay Varina. Also a report of a crash on the south side of Raleigh at Rush Street and Hammond Road. Still have that crash on Pool Road around Sunnybrook Road and that crash in the parking lot over at Knightdale Boulevard right around Old Knight Road. Not seeing any big delays with that one, though. Around Raleigh and Wake County, our major routes are looking good. Taking a look at those live sensor readings right now in Durham. Not picking up any big delays. Looking good coming in from Raleigh on 40 westbound. A one-minute delay showing up right now on the southbound side of 501 coming in from Infinity Road. That's Duke Street heading down toward I-85. Also coming in from northern Wake County on westbound Highway 98 from Highway 50 to 885, seeing about a one-minute slowdown at some of those intersections.
All right, thank you, Brian. Raleigh Citizens Advisory Council is back in action as they work toward keeping you safe. It was standing room only last night as dozens of Southeast Raleigh residents showed up for the meeting. Most of it focused on crime and safety in the area. A Raleigh Police District commander says the Southeast is dealing with several violent crime hotspots.
I looked at the stats and I've got 16 residents that got shot. All of those have been gang related.
Last night's meeting marked a return for the advisory councils. They had helped guide city development for decades before being cut out by the city in 2020.
In less than a week, the public health order used to expel millions of illegal migrants will end. And as the president plans to deploy troops to the border, lawmakers are clamoring for ways to stop what's expected to be an overwhelming surge. Alexandra Hoff has more from Washington.
Well, it is a balancing act for the president. Title 42 is set to expire next Thursday. And right now you have Republicans urging the president to reverse that decision and Democrats saying that deploying troops sends the wrong message. 1,500 U.S. troops will join 2,500 National Guard members already in place at the U.S.-Mexico border, where local officials report that migrant encounters have already risen ahead of Title 42's end next week.
This is an administration that has taken the challenges that we see at the border very seriously since day one.
But some Democrats are calling a military presence too threatening, and Republicans see it as too little, too late.
President Biden's says, well, we'll send 1,500 troops down there. That'll fix the problem. This just demonstrates how clueless they really are about what's causing this problem and what needs to be done to fix it.
Title 42 is a policy that allowed the U.S. to quickly remove those who entered the country illegally. And now bipartisan legislation is being introduced to temporarily expel migrants after the public health order ends on May 11th. This week, the U.S. also entered into a landmark deal with Mexico, where they will continue to take in migrants from four countries. For those who have been camped out on the Mexican side of the border, this only adds to the confusion, having been led to believe on social media and by cartels that the end of Title 42 means that they can freely enter the United States.
I say that both houses of Congress and both parties are culpable for the failure to do anything. It's a political football. But they're only here typically once they're processed for 24 to 48 hours, and then they're all over the United States.
That was Alexandra Hoff reporting. Later today, Homeland Security Secretary will hold a press conference in Texas alongside Border Patrol officials.
New this morning, the chief of the Air Force is set to become the next top U.S. general. A source close to the matter says President Joe Biden is expected to recommend General Charles Q. Brown Jr. Now, if the Senate approves, it would be the first time that the defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs are both African-American. The announcement is expected to come sometime before July.
Well, happening now in the WREL Live Center, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy meeting with Pope Francis early this morning at the Vatican. The House Speaker posting this picture to his Instagram account this morning, writing, "We pray for peace." The Vatican reported that the Pope received the House Speaker in a private one-on-one meeting. The Vatican spokesperson did not say what was discussed between the Pope and the House Speaker. This is McCarthy's first trip abroad since becoming speaker. He led a bipartisan congressional delegation to Jordan, Israel, and Egypt earlier this week. But again, his first meeting with Pope Francis as Speaker of the House.
Ken, thanks. Excitement and anticipation are in the air as Great Britain prepares for the coronation of King Charles III. Lauren Blanchard is in London with a preview.
Rehearsals and double checks of security measures are underway ahead of Saturday's crowning of King Charles III and Camilla, the Queen Consort.
I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone all together, all the country celebrating.
Crowds are already gathering outside of Buckingham Palace and along the procession route leading to Westminster Abbey, where the coronation of Britain's monarchs has taken place since 1066.
King Charles's coronation is a religious and constitutional event that officially crowns Charles III, the King of the United Kingdom and 14 Commonwealth realms.
Saturday's ceremony is expected to feature six parts and will be dramatically different from the coronation of His Majesty's mother, the late Queen Elizabeth II, including a much shorter parade route, smaller guest list, and the involvement of religious leaders from different faiths.
It seems important to His Majesty that the coronation reflect pomp and stability versus pomp and circumstance. The guest list has been cut by 6,000 coronation invitations printed on recycled cards.
However, King Charles is set to wear the same royal regalia as the late former queen and will finally have the St. Edward's crown placed on his head for the first time.
That was Lauren Blanchard reporting, and this will be the first coronation in 70 years. While no U.S. president has ever attended one, First Lady Jill Biden is expected to be there. If you are traveling internationally this summer, prepare to pay if you need a passport quickly. AAA is teaming up with Rush My Passport to get those passports out quicker. A one-week processing option is almost $800. A two-week option, $600. There are also other options to help speed up the process. You can try to get it processed through the urgent travel designation on the State Department's website, or you can reach out to your congressional representative.
Parents, you'll want to check your child's bed this morning. It may be under an urgent recall. It involves twin bunk beds made by Walker Edison Furniture. There have been 14 cases where the bunk bed slats break. One person was hurt. The beds are sold online through Walmart, Home Depot, Amazon, and other retailers. If you have these beds, stop using them and contact Walker Edison for a free repair kit. And for more information on this recall and others, you can go to WREL.com/recalls. A water recycling company is using shower water to make beer. Epic Clean Tech, based in San Francisco, partnered with Devil's Canyon Brewing Company to use wastewater to make a new beer. Epic One Water Brew is the product of recycled water from showers, laundry, and sinks from an apartment building. They use equipment to treat and reuse the water. The beer is not for sale. They just wanted to show the potential of recycled water. No, I'm not drinking that.
Oh, I was going to say, you go first. Let me know how it is. And then we'll, you know, I'm kind of glad it's not going to be for sale.
Yeah.
All right, here's some video you have to see to believe. Gust of wind in California sends a baby stroller rolling right down towards that busy street. A woman trying desperately to get there falls twice, and thank goodness this guy runs in, saves the day in the right place at the right time right there, stops the stroller in time. Then he rolls the stroller on back to the woman and gives her a hug.
Wow.
She needed it.
So lucky. Oh, my goodness.
Johnny on the spot right there.
Yeah.
Some movies are coming to theaters and some shows are back filming once again. Coming up, how the writer's strike is casting a shadow over all of it.
And we're continuing to stay on top of a house fire that killed a Harnett County woman. We'll have the latest.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Friday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. Let's begin with this beautiful Friday morning. Blue skies over Chapel Hill this morning. Elizabeth, are rain chances for this weekend even going down?
They are, looking at just a 20% chance on Saturday and Sunday. And today looks like it's going to be dry. It's Cinco de Mayo, a Hurricanes game. So many things happening through the weekend. And it's a nice start today, certainly. It's 46 in Lewisburg, 52 in Fayetteville, 55 in South Hill. We are on our way to 70 degrees at lunchtime. If you're about to head out the door to walk the dog, 50, maybe a jacket, maybe not. Certainly if you're walking the dog this evening, temperatures will remain in the 70s under partly cloudy skies. Brian.
Taking a look at traffic, we are following a crash on the south side of Raleigh, a crash with injuries on Lake Wheeler Road, just south of Tryon Road, right there around the NC State Farm area. Pretty heavy delays in both directions of Lake Wheeler, according to our latest sensor updates. Consider using 401 as a good alternate route. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, a report of a crash in the past couple of minutes on Lake Boone Trail right around Wycliffe Road, not too far from the 440 interchange. But our major routes around Wake County, Durham County, and Orange County right now are all looking pretty good.
All right, thanks, Brian. At least four Wake County schools are increasing security this morning, and Chatham County schools are doing the same following social media threats. Chatham County Sheriff Mike Robertson said a nonspecific threat is making rounds across the state and the nation. And new restrictions on abortion are set to go into effect in North Carolina later this year, unless a veto from Governor Cooper holds up. The bill banning most abortions after 12 weeks is now on the way to the governor's desk after the state Senate passed it last night. The governor says he will veto the bill. Up next on Today, the top workout essentials to break a sweat.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now on Fox 50, we have some sad news out of Harnett County. One person is dead after a massive house fire.
And extra security to keep students and teachers safe in Chatham and Wake counties. We'll explain the new precautions they're taking today after threats popped up on social media.
Partly cloudy skies today. Temperatures are starting to warm up nicely. We're looking at fewer chances for rain over the weekend. I'll show you the timeline.
Thanks for sticking with us on your sunny, beautiful Friday morning. It's really nice out there.
Yeah,
I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And Jeff Hogan, good to have you with us as we get our Friday started here together. Thanks for making us part of your routine here. And we've been in this routine all week long with the cool starts. It's going to get nicer out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
Looking so pretty out there right now. This is a live look at Clayton. You can see lots of sunshine. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds as we get through the day today. But temperatures are on a roll, starting to warm up. We're at 53 in the Triangle area right now. It's 52 in Fayetteville, 54 in Rocky Mount. It's 45 now in Roxborough. We did start in the 30s in Roxborough this morning. Our temperature at lunchtime, 70 degrees, and we'll be in the mid-70s for highs this afternoon. That's about 5 degrees warmer than we were yesterday. Today stays dry. dry, and it's looking drier for the weekend. It may not be completely dry. It's 20% chance Saturday and again on Sunday. That means the potential for at least a few isolated showers or thunderstorms potentially on Sunday. I'll walk you through the timeline coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. One person is dead after a massive house fire in Harnett County. It happened around 1 o'clock this morning on Red Hill Church Road in Irwin. Michael Grace is there in the WREL Breaking News Tracker.
Yeah, that's right. And it's mainly going to be a busy scene like this the rest of the day. It's also been an extremely emotional day. Family members of the homeowner are actually here right now. We've seen them crying, embracing each other. I spoke to one of them who said that this was her grandmother's house, and I can only imagine the emotion that she's going through right now. Now, we know so far that, as you said, this fire started around 1 in the morning. It took four different crews about an hour to get it under control. At one point, the roof of this house collapsed. It caught two cars on fire as well, completely destroyed. Now, there was one person who died. There was another who was able to make it out alive. We're still working to find out their identities. We also know Red Cross is here assisting with the person who made it out alive. And we're going to continue to keep you updated as soon as authorities release more details. In Harnett County, Michael Grace, WREL News.
At least four Wake County schools are increasing security this morning, and new overnight, Chatham County joined in doing the same following social media threats. WREL's Naya Harden is at Wake Forest High School with what school officials tell us about these threats.
We have seen extra security here. Wake Forest police on the scene here. I'm going to step out of the way so you can see that vehicle there that I'm talking about. This, as a handful of schools here in Wake County are dealing with what's sadly become common for our area. Parents reached out to us saying they plan to keep their children home today. Here's a list of high schools that receive social media threats: Roseville, Heritage, Wake Forest, and Leesville Road High School. Roseville telling parents in a letter that the threat mentioned violence. Several principals posted on social media to warn that there are serious consequences for making threats against a school. Around midnight, Chatham County Sheriff Mike Robertson shared on Facebook they will have deputies at schools this morning. He says a nonspecific threat is making rounds across the state and the nation. Police are investigating the school threats in Wake County as well. Naya Harden, WREL News in Wake Forest.
New restrictions on abortion will go into effect in North Carolina later this year unless a veto from Governor Cooper holds up. The bill banning most abortions after 12 weeks is now on its way to Cooper's desk. The state Senate passed it last night. That vote came 24 hours after the House passed the bill and 48 hours after it was introduced. Governor Cooper says he will veto that bill and called on North Carolinians to persuade Republican lawmakers to allow the veto to stand.
Republican legislators like Ted Davis and Michael Lee from Wilmington, John Bradford and Tricia Cotham from Mecklenburg County made campaign promises to protect women's reproductive health, demand that they keep their promises by sustaining the veto.
Republicans have a supermajority by one vote in each chamber of the legislature, so that means Cooper would need just one lawmaker to break from party lines for that veto to stick.
And the bill moves to the governor's desk after a six-hour debate on the Senate floor that ended with the party line vote in the General Assembly. That is where you were looking live this morning.
We should be able to come together as a lawmaking body, put aside our personal opinions, and see that this is a good bill for North Carolina.
Lawmakers should not be involved in people's personal health care decisions.
The bill would make women jump through more hoops to get an abortion. This includes multiple visits with a doctor before getting one. Critics of the bill question whether that's feasible for women who might live a long distance from a clinic.
The family of a Raleigh man who died at the hands of police earlier this year is continuing their call for the officers involved to be fired. Family of Darrell Williams plans to give an update today about their meeting with the district attorney. That meeting is about an investigation into RPD's tactics. Williams died January 17th after a scuffle with officers that ended with them using a taser on him several times. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is working with the family, and their news conference is scheduled for 1 o'clock this afternoon. History will be made in just 24 hours now. King Charles III's coronation unfolds. Here's a live look for you at Buckingham Palace. Hundreds of thousands of people will be lining the streets of London waiting for tomorrow's royal ceremony. It's all happening inside Westminster Abbey. WIRL will carry the NBC coverage of the coronation from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. Our local news will air tomorrow morning 6 to 8 on Fox 50, and then after the special coverage on WIRL.
The Carolina Hurricanes take the ice again tonight as they continue their march toward the Stanley Cup. The Canes will host the New Jersey Devils in game two of their second round series. The Canes are looking to take a two-game lead in the series after winning game one on Wednesday night, 5-1. Puck drop for tonight's game is at PNC Arena. It's at 8 o'clock. May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Yes, it's a mouthful, but it's the perfect time to share with you stories of remarkable AAPI North Carolinians. And today on WREL News, you can get to know our area's first Asian American police chief.
We all take pride in representing something. You know, as a person with Asian American heritage, by all means, as people come up, you know, I get Asian Americans that want take their selfies with me or take a picture with me. And you know, yeah, that makes me proud to know that there's a group of people out there that I represent, you know, at the level I am as the police chief now.
Chief Ken Braden is 90 days in as Fayetteville's top cop. Renee Chu spoke with him about his experience rising through the ranks. Hear why he doesn't want being a first to define what he plans to do as chief. That's airing tonight at 5:30.
And breaking here in the WREL Live Center, within the last 5 minutes, the Labor Department releasing the jobs report from April. And you see the headlines here at CNBC. Job growth in April, 253,000 jobs created. That actually beat expectations. Wall Street was expecting 180,000 jobs to be released in April. And also the unemployment rate is now sticking at 3.4%. That's the lowest percentage since 1969. With that in mind, let's take a look at the major indices right now. You can see Wall Street bouncing back, expected to open higher this morning. You can see the Dow on the plus side of almost 180 points. We'll, of course, have the opening numbers in our next hour of news here on Fox 50.
Ken, thanks. COVID-19 deaths are dropping, but some health experts are warning of a potential new threat. Up next, a look at why bird flu is causing some concern.
And a couple of Chatham County students developed an award-winning app. How an idea in a coding class became something so much bigger.
And as we head to break, a live look right here from Lewisburg from our WREL Live Cam Network. Good morning to you. Back in a moment.
Welcome back on your Friday morning. Here's a live look at Beaufort. What a nice day to be on the water. Elizabeth and I were just talking about the beach this weekend. You have plans to go out to the beach, and the rain chances are lower, which is incredible.
Yeah, everybody who has some plans this weekend is going to be happier with this forecast. We dropped it to about 20% chance for Saturday and Sunday. Here's a live look at Fayetteville, and you can see some high thin cloud cover that has moved in. We've seen some sunshine on and off so far this morning, and that'll be the case all day long. Expect it to be maybe overcast feeling for a bit, and then the sun will break back out, and we'll just move through that pattern on and off through the day. 53 degrees is our temperature right now. We're going to climb into the mid-70s for highs this afternoon. So a nice big warm-up. Expect 76 in Raleigh, 75 in Durham, and 79 in Fayetteville for this afternoon. So a nice, nice day. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds, low humidity. It's going to be perfect for tailgating at the Hurricanes game tonight. If you happen to get tickets at 5 o'clock, 76 degrees. Game starts at 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock tonight. 67 at 8 o'clock. And as the game ends, temperatures in the low 60s. Our normal high is 77. So we're pretty close to that today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And then we're going to see a big jump into the mid to upper 80s Monday and Tuesday. Those 2 days are going to feel more like summer. The humidity goes up and we'll also have a chance for some afternoon storms. So today and tomorrow feeling pretty comfy to refreshing. And then we jump into the kind of steamy to tolerable level by Monday and Tuesday. So we're going to feel it. Now we are going to see a better chance of rain those days, but it's going to feel a lot more like summer. It's actually been, you know, awfully cool this week. Some people weren't too happy about it, ready for it to be warm. But you know what you're asking for around down here. When it gets warm, it gets humid, and we see afternoon storms. This is where rain is right now. This was the system that looked like it was going to roll over us this weekend, but instead it looks like that front's going to hang back to the west, and some of that rain's going to head to the south. So this is a look at Futurecast for Saturday. We'll see partly cloudy skies on and off. We get into the afternoon, and it may be that we see more clouds and sun, and notice the little patches of rain that pop up. It's not a zero rain chance. It's just lower than it was earlier in the week. So I would take along a raincoat or umbrella just to be safe. If you happen to see a stray shower come through, it'll just be that. You may not see but one or two, and they should move through fairly quickly. It should not rain out any events that we have planned for this weekend. On Sunday, we'll likely start with some sunshine. This is, of course, the first look, an early look at our high-resolution models that come in a little over 48 hours in advance. So this is as far out as it goes, right there at 2 o'clock. But you can see some scattered thunderstorms up to the north. It is likely that we will see a few isolated showers or storms mid to late afternoon. Weekend planner, though, looking much better than it did. A 20% chance Saturday, and on Sunday, warmer temperatures, upper 70s to low 80s, so looking good. We are proud sponsors of the Ham and Yam Festival in Smithfield. Great event for this weekend. It should stay dry in the morning with just a small chance of a shower in the afternoon. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Of course, it's hotter on Monday and Tuesday, but we'll see a better chance for some showers and storms. Once that system moves out, we're a little cooler and drier by the middle of the week.
The man who Memphis police allegedly beat to death after a traffic stop died of blunt force injuries to his head. Authorities released the official autopsy report for Tyree Nichols yesterday. The medical examiner described internal bleeding in his brain along with severe head and neck injuries, as well as cuts and bruises all over his body. Nichols died 3 days after the officers beat and kicked him. Five police officers who were fired after his death have pleaded not guilty to second-degree murder charges. If you paid for free tax services from TurboTax, you should expect a refund. This is the result of a $141 million settlement across several states that was reached in May of last year. If you're eligible, you'll get an email notification and receive your check in the mail this month. You don't have to file a claim out of this. Most people are getting about $30 back.
Two Chatham County high schoolers are now national champions for an innovative app that they created. The sophomores built a game called Platformers. They competed in the Congressional App Challenge. That's a national initiative where Congress members host contests in their districts for middle and high school students. The goal is to inspire more students to pursue careers in computer science. That's pretty cool.
A new health data is showing a decline in COVID-19 deaths. Scientists are on the lookout for other potential viruses that could pose public health risks. Marianne Rafferty takes a look at why a certain strain of bird flu should be closely watched.
New data from the CDC reveals COVID-19 dropped to become the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. last year. But now researchers are keeping a close eye on the spread of bird flu. Citing how continued transmission of the H5N1 strain from birds to mammals could cause the virus to mutate and become a public health crisis for people in the future.
We've seen increases in a kind of epidemic spread in wild domestic birds, but now we're seeing spread in other animals. Every spillover into a new species is a chance for genetic mutations that may make it more easily transmissible to or between humans.
Although it currently poses low risk for people, you could catch the virus by coming in direct contact with an infected bird's saliva or droppings.
We've known about this virus since the mid-1990s, and over that entire time, globally, we've had less than 900 cases, most of those, almost all, from direct contact with infected poultry or birds. And of those, about half of them have been fatal. And that's the real scary piece of this. We don't know if future mutations that may allow for better human-to-human transmission will make the virus less severe, about the same, or worse.
Bird flu is extremely contagious for turkeys, chickens, and several species of wild birds. And the current outbreak, which began in 2021, has so far resulted in the deaths of nearly 60 million birds.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting.
From festivals to a Tony Award-winning musical, this first weekend in May is packed with events. WREL Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan is here with us this morning to help you plan your weekend. A beautiful weekend in store, Kathy. Let's start off talking about the popular musical playing at Durham Performing Arts Center.
Moulin Rouge is on stage through May 14th, a great Mother's Day gift idea.
hint, hint. The show is based on the movie of the same name. It's going to feature 70 songs. There's great mashups of popular songs. It's amazing from beginning to end. The soundtrack is awesome.
That. Yeah, they're going to put on such a great show. But there are a lot of festivals also happening this weekend. Let's start with the Smithfield Ham and Yam Festival. WREL is a proud community partner. We had them here yesterday. They brought some samples. It's delicious.
Okay, the annual event is on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Front Street. There's going to be two stages of entertainment, inflatables, country ham biscuits, sweet potatoes. You can even meet some of your favorite WREL journalists. We're going to have a booth there near the kids area. Brett Neese, Gerald Owens, and Scott Mason will be there. Brett Neese is also judging the What's That Yam Thing contest, which is where kids turn potatoes into works of art.
Wow, I like that. That's really cute. And there are three more festivals if you don't want to go to that. There's more.
So many things. Okay, so in Apex, got Peak Fest going on from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Salem Street. Live music, artists, entertainment, food. Wake Forest, you got Meet in the Street Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. More than 100 vendors, plus food trucks at Children's Village. And over in Cary, we've got Fest in the West at Thomas Brooks Park, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Live entertainment, food trucks, breweries, a petting zoo. So much.
There is just so much, and the weather is supposed to be nice. I have a feeling a lot of these festivals are going to be packed with people. Kathy, thank you so much. And for more information on these events, you can go to WREL.com and search Out and About.
Also today, you want to have great weather for this. Thousands of North Carolina college students will be graduating and heading out into the real world. East Carolina University is holding its spring commencement this morning. It is at 10 a.m. at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. Students at Methodist University in Fayetteville will walk across the stage today. More than 250 students will be getting their degrees. Today's ceremony is at 2 p.m. in Huff Concert Hall.
And remember, tomorrow is the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. It's happening at the Box Yard in RTP. The festival area opens at 7 with the opening ceremony beginning at 8:30. The Race for the Cure aims to raise money for the fight against cancer. WREL is a proud sponsor of this event. We're getting a look at some of the top picks heading into tomorrow's running of the Kentucky Derby. NBC sports analysts say Forte is by far the most accomplished horse in the race. Forte has been the Derby's favorite for the past 6 months now. We're also watching Tappet Trice. He's said to be the second choice. And you can watch all the action from the 149th Derby on WREL tomorrow. Coverage begins at noon. The race begins at 6:57 p.m.
Movies are opening in theaters, film festivals are ramping up, cameras are rolling on sets. In today's Hollywood Minute, David Daniel shows us how the writers' strike is casting a shadow over all of it.
We either move forward or we die with it.
The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power is among the shows trying to move forward amid the Writers Guild strike. An Amazon Studios spokesperson confirms production on season 2 is continuing without its showrunners. WGA strike rules prevent writer-producers from making creative decisions on set. Hollywood productions could soon become even more affected. Contracts for SAG-AFTRA and the Directors Guild expire June 30th. Without new deals, actors and directors could also strike. Captain Marvel herself, Brie Larson, has joined the Cannes Film Festival jury. The Oscar winner and Paul Dano from The Batman and the Fabelmans will be among those screening the 21 films in competition at Cannes this year and selecting the winners. This year's festival runs May 16th through the 27th.
I'm getting married.
You are?
Who's the lucky lady?
Don't know yet.
What do you mean?
I'm getting an arranged marriage.
Well, assisted marriage. That's what we're calling it these days.
Dare I ask, what about love?
You grow to love the person you're with.
What, like Stockholm Syndrome?
Lily James plays a filmmaker whose longtime friend is preparing to marry a stranger in What's Love Got to Do With It? The romantic comedy opens in theaters this weekend. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
Today's National Astronaut Day. It's a day dedicated to sharing out-of-this-world astronaut experiences and celebrating future astronauts as well. The day falls on May 5th to honor astronaut Alan Shepard Jr. He was the first American in space, visiting for 15 minutes on May 5th, 1961.
Wow, really cool. You can also honor NC State alum Christina Cook as well, National Astronaut Day.
We should.
We
absolutely
should.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right, before we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.